It's no secret that Penn State wants another quarterback in the class of 2024, but who could that prospect actually be?
You are Locked On Nittany Lions, your daily podcast on the Penn State Nittany Lions, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, thanks so much for making Locked On Nittany Lions your first listen and watch every single day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast. My name is Zach Seiko. I am your host of the show, and I'm joined by one of my favorite guests to have on. He's back, Dylan Callaghan-Crowley, a Rivals contributor, recruiting analyst for Penn State Rivals, HappyValleyInsider.com, Michigan State, Minnesota, Oregon State. I got that all in a line there, Dylan. Thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on once again. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and before we move any further, of course, where can people keep up with the work that you do?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RivalsDylanCC, and you can find me, of course, over at Happy Valley Insider, PennState.Rivals.com.
All right, and of course, Penn State Rivals has made Locked On Nittany Lions your go-to podcast. You can check out Happy Valley Insider, of course, where Dylan writes very frequently. HappyValleyInsider.com for all the latest. I had a recent notebook from the Elite 11, and that's precisely what we're going to be discussing. The Rivals camp in New Jersey, getting another perspective on the Elite 11 quarterbacks. There's the rumors that Ryan Puglisi could flip, or that Penn State is at least really targeting him. He's committed to Georgia, but at the same time, Georgia just landed the top quarterback in the country for the class of 2024 in Dylan Raiola. So there might be a little wiggle room there for Penn State to make an impression on Puglisi. He was at the Elite 11 camp. Of course, Ethan Grunkmeyer got that eighth invitation, was there. Just Dylan in general, from Penn State's perspective, was it the fact that Ethan had arguably the best performance? You know, some coaches might say differently, but the fact that Elite 11 gave him the eighth invitation, I mean, that is a massive win for Penn State.
Yeah, that is an absolutely massive win for Penn State. Like you said, I mean, this is a kid who we've talked about over the last few weeks has been really rising up the recruiting boards, not just rankings, but across the country for different colleges. Penn State luckily got him, of course, on board here. And I'm double checking as we talk, but this is now multiple quarterbacks that Penn State has had on their roster under James Franklin who have gone to the Elite 11 finals. We, of course, you know, just last year saw Jackson Smolak get there. Yep. In 2021, Drew was there. And then it actually seems like they haven't had one since before that was Sean. But, I mean, three of the last five quarterback top quarterback targets they've had, commits they've had, have gone to the Elite 11 finals. That says something. I mean, those are some of the best quarterback evaluators in the country. So if they saw something in Ethan that they didn't see in that otherwise pretty stacked Elite 11 regional, that definitely says something for Penn State. And I'm sure that James Franklin and offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich love to see Ethan get that invitational to Los Angeles for later this summer.
And I know they're trying to get two quarterbacks in the class of 2024. At least they were open about it, because I know that leading up with the recruitment of Michael Van Buren, that was always a factor that Penn State, hey, might take a center. You are the leading target, and then Penn State might take somebody else. Now it kind of flips where Ethan Grunkmeyer at least is going to be an equal to whatever counterpart or ahead. Ethan Grunkmeyer is either going to be the primary quarterback target or a commitment, or somebody that is going to be on par with somebody else that they pick up. Of course, Miles O'Neill just taking a recent visit to Penn State outside of being on, you know, in town for the Elite 11 camp. And he had a pretty impressive performance, tested well athletically, made all the throws, but wasn't the best prospect that Ethan Grunkmeyer was. With that all being said, Penn State, the conversation was, okay, let's land the star in the class of 2025. Yeah. And now it's, we're going all in 2024. So ultimately, was there something that changed? Is this just the way that the deck broke and it's really been in favor for Penn State from here?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it, is that that's kind of just the way the, you know, the cards were dealt, and Penn State ended up with a pretty good hand here, I would say, and how everything has gone to plan. I think or has gone for them. Grunkmeyer, you know, like we said, has been rising really fast. Obviously, they wanted Michael Van Buren. I've heard, I don't want to get into it just yet, but I've heard the numbers that Michael Van Buren has potentially gotten from Oregon. And I would say that the value probably is much better for Penn State with Grunkmeyer than what Oregon got with Van Buren. And I'm not taking anything away from Van Buren. I think Van Buren's a fantastic quarterback, has a chance to be a really good quarterback with the Ducks. But it's almost weird now in college football that we haven't even have to consider this. But with NIL, you almost have to consider the value of what you're getting. It's a lot like, you know, baseball, football,
and a salary and, with your collective money.
It's just like contracts in professional sports. Is the value there? The value that Oregon potentially gave Van Buren here definitely means that Oregon views him as, you know, one of the top probably four or five quarterbacks in this 2024 recruiting cycle, which I think Penn State probably also saw him at that type of level. But Oregon obviously has a little bit more resources in that area than Penn State does. But with Grunkmeyer as number one, I think he's going to probably end up here at Rivals when it's all said and done, a high three-star or even four-star quarterback. I absolutely wouldn't rule out the four-star potential. I was at the Rivals Camp Series in Piscataway. You were at the Elite 11. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about Grunkmeyer, and all the national recruit analysts liked what they saw out of him. It's you know, he's had a big spring here. It's now let's see what he can do this fall. And that's what I'm always wary about with, you know, camps and how kids perform in the offseason. Doing it in 77 and camp situations is one thing, but I also want to see how you can do in a real game situation. Now, Grunkmeyer will absolutely be tested. He plays a brutal schedule every year in Ohio, so I'm excited to see how he performs this upcoming season for them. In terms of quarterback two here for Penn State, definitely something they're still pursuing. It'll be interesting to see who becomes that quarterback number two here, because like you said, if they go after somebody like a Ryan Puglisi, that is another very high-end quarterback prospect, one that we, I believe, right now have rated a little bit higher here on Rivals. One could argue he would be the number one quarterback in Grunkmeyer class. So I'm very interested to see how that breaks. They are kind of starting to talk to California quarterback Demarcus Davis, who has scheduled official visits to Oregon State, which, of course, I cover. I've talked to him quite a bit. And I think Oregon State's a good spot. He's also visiting Washington, and I think off the top of my head, his third official visit. But he has been talking to Penn State. Mike Yurcich has been talking to him and his head coach. So we'll see if anything develops there. If he receives an offer, I expect him to show some pretty high interest in Penn State. He said that he'd have no problem being in a two-quarterback class at Penn State, possibly down the road. Of course, that remains to be seen. He has to get an offer, get on campus, all that still. But that is another name that has kind of emerged here in the last 24, 48 hours of who could be that quarterback too for Penn State.
Let's continue this conversation in a moment, but first hear from our sponsor of today's episode, and that is Bird Dogs. Now, Bird Dogs pants and shorts, they are great for three reasons. First, the fit. You're going to look better and feel great wearing Bird Dogs. Second is comfort, stretchy fabric. That's all you need to know. It's going to make your legs feel great, and they're comfier than all your other shorts and pants. And versatility. They give you the freedom to wear one pair of shorts and pants on the golf course, at a date, hanging out with friends, to a meeting, you name it. I've never had a pair of Bird Dog shorts or pants before, so I thought I'd take the liberty and order a pair myself, and I got to say they live up to the billing. So go try them out for yourself. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, and when you enter promo code LockedOnCollege, you get a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. So yeah, there's incentive there. birddogs.com/lockedoncollege to get your comfort and your free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. And again, thanks so much for making Locked On Nittany Lions your first listen and watch every single day. I'm Zach Seiko. He's Dylan Callaghan-Crowley. And we're talking Penn State quarterbacks. Ethan Grunkmeyer is a verbal commit. Clemson was pursuing him heavily. And now Penn State feels like it can really cash in here and get a second quarterback prospect rather than delaying for the class of 2025. But I feel like Penn State, Dylan, this is something that I've always kind of wondered, why Penn State has to do everything in its power to kind of scrape the barrel, where Georgia can say, all right, we're going to go get two top 10 quarterbacks in the nation and not blink an eye. I feel like Penn State should be in that position. The two quarterback thing didn't scare Dylan Raiola, obviously, sure, because he's the number one quarterback in the country, but it seems, and okay, Michael Van Buren, why is he going to Oregon when they already have Luke Moga in the fold? But maybe that was something that held him back at Penn State. At least I just find that Penn State is in an interesting position where for other schools, the two quarterback thing in a class doesn't exactly matter. But for some reason, this conversation does. Drew Aller, Bo Prabula were in that two quarterback. So it just feels like more often than not, it isn't that situation for Penn State rather than it being so. The Drew Aller, Bo Prabula class isn't the standard that it should be.
Yeah, so I think for Penn State, a lot of it comes down to you look around, and let's take Georgia first here. Georgia obviously has the two national championships that are coming off of that.
Yep.
That is going to be by far and away, you know, one of the biggest recruiting tools they could use for, even if they don't win this year, they could use those two back-to-back national championships as a recruiting tool for the next 5 to 10 years, as long as Kirby Smart is there. So you look at that, and I mean, you look also at that Georgia offense, and you wouldn't say that they use their quarterbacks to their best potential either. I think a lot of people agree Jake Fromm could have been used a lot differently at Georgia. Even Stetson Bennett at times could have been used differently, probably in for a better, but at the same time, they won two national championships. So who are we to say? For Penn State, I think it comes down to you look at their quarterback situation over the last 5 or so years. One is there's been a lot of, you know, different offense coordinators in and out. Your quarterback play has been inconsistent at times. You look at how they used their quarterbacks. Trace McSorley was ran a ton. Sean Clifford was ran a ton. Now
in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning. Last year, he obviously took quite a bit of a step back in that regard, and even in 2021 as well. But at the same time, Sean took a beating over his first few years as quarterback. And I think we saw that kind of add up towards the end of his career. He didn't have that same, you know, acceleration in his game that he had at the beginning of his career. Wasn't as mobile, still was mobile enough. But not all quarterbacks want to be ran that much. A lot of, you know, if you're a dual threat quarterback, that's one thing. But over the last few years, though, Penn State has been much more recruiting the pro-style quarterback, sit in the pocket, deliver the pass, somebody that Mike Yersin is more familiar using. Now, I think we're starting to see also that those quarterbacks are seeing Penn State is going more towards this style of offense, less of running your quarterback as much. And it's starting to add up. Now, why are they missing on some of these top guys? I think one of it is NIL. NIL, Penn State is, you know, getting into a better spot. They're certainly today in a better spot than they were a year ago, a year and a half ago, especially a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Since Pat Kraft has come here, it's really taken a step up. But at the same time, when you're going for these top quarterbacks, look at who you're going up against. You're going up against Alabama. You're going up against Georgia, Texas A&M, Oregon. The list goes on and on. They're going up against a lot of big NIL schools, schools that could offer money that Penn State could not, you know, match. And I think we're going to see at some point a market correction in that, but until then, it's going to be tough. The other thing, though, is Penn State is one of the better schools when it comes to identifying talent
right up front.
Whether it's late bloomers or early in their recruitment. Grunkmeyer, late bloomer here. Obviously, a couple other Power 5 schools identified him as well, a couple earlier than Penn State, but Penn State got in there and they got their man. You can go all the way back to Justin Fields. Justin Fields, when he committed to Penn State back whenever that was, I can't even remember the year, was a three-star prospect. And by the time he decommitted from Penn State, he was one of the top five players in the country. So there's not many staffs that are better at identifying talent, especially diamonds in the rough, I think, than Penn State. You look at Drew. Drew wasn't a high four-star, five-star quarterback when he originally was recruited by Penn State. He was another mid three-star quarterback committed to Penn State. His recruitment took off. Everybody saw what he could do. And I think that's what they got here in Grunkmeyer. Now, will he be the next coming of Drew per se? I don't know. We'll see what Drew can do on the field. I don't think he's going to skyrocket maybe that is that high that Drew did, but I think there's a good chance that Grunkmeyer ends up one of the, top across the industry, one of the top 10, 12 quarterbacks in the country when it's all said and done this cycle, which if you're Penn State, you look at what they went after this year. If they could end up with a top 10, 12 quarterback in Grunkmeyer while missing on the likes of Kromenhoek and Van Buren, I think if you're Penn State, you definitely like how everything ended up in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I feel like Penn State's in a good spot, even if they don't get a second quarterback option here in the class of 2024. I mean, Miles O'Neill seems to be taking his time. I heard, again, good things about his prospects going to Penn State, but Ethan Grunkmeyer committing might have changed that. And there are other good – I mean, he's talking to some good schools. It's not like he went from Penn State to talking to Buffalo. A group five schools. So what are Penn State's options here? We've assessed Ryan Puglisi, given that there is some, I don't know what the tension is or what the friction might be, but he's now in a two quarterback system himself where Dylan Raiola probably projects as the better option. And I watched Puglisi in person at Elite 11, right? He was an extremely talented quarterback. And I think him and Ethan had very similar performances. I think they did different things better.
Yeah.
But Grunkmeyer was ultimately the more consistent, like the Elite 11 coaches said. That's why they gave him the invitation. I think Puglisi will end up being invited to Elite 11. Dante Reno was really good. And this is the finals, right? At the regional, Dante Reno was really good. AJ Cerace at Rutgers was really good. Frankie Weaver tested as one of the most accurate quarterbacks, for example. Now he's in a different class. But besides the point, Miles O'Neill was there. Tyler Cherry has now committed to Duke. Ryan Puglisi has at least affirmed his commitment, reaffirmed that he's saying the things that Georgia would want him to say
if you're Georgia, you definitely like what you're hearing from Ryan. Now, notable with Ryan is that unless he has received one and never reported, he still does not have a Penn State offer to his name. So we're still, in that first stage of that. Yeah, Penn State may be, giving him a closer look. Why not? But until he gets an offer, obviously it's all right now just a little bit of speculation, I guess we could say. But I know I've definitely, from multiple people, heard that Penn State could be a place to watch in that recruitment. I have not yet been able to talk with people on the Penn State side of things to get their take on that. But definitely not a name I'm going to rule out, but I guess he's also a little bit down my board of guys that I'm looking at as that number two right now.
So who are the other names? I mean, I know Trevor I'd like Trevor Jackson to be in the fold, but he's someone that his recruiting has caught some steam. It's caught fire.
A lot like Grunkmeyer and Miles O'Neill. Penn State has identified three of the really top rising quarterbacks in this this spring, and they kind of did it before most people. So that is, again, goes back to Penn State being able to identify talent at a high level. You got Trevor Jackson, who I'll have to check in to see how he feels about a two quarterback class, but he's definitely been talking about getting up to Penn State for a unofficial or official visit here. Miles O'Neill, I feel like we could probably put on the back burner now for now, since he didn't make that visit. I would say it could be the two quarterback thing, but again, Texas A&M has two quarterbacks. So is it the two quarterback thing? Perhaps. But we'll see there. Maybe he somehow makes it to campus here in the upcoming weeks. So Trevor Jackson is definitely one. Could they look down at Tyler Cherry? I think so. I think if you're going up against Duke and if Penn State wanted to push for a commitment and Cherry wouldn't mind being in a two quarterback class, I think that's a guy you could reasonably expect to flip. Maybe not, but in most recruitments between Penn State and Duke, if it's an even playing field and both schools are willing to take the prospect, I would give Penn State an edge there. But, you know, Elko is a very good recruiter down at Duke, so probably should credit him a little bit more in that aspect. The thing is right now they really don't have a ton of offers out there left that are uncommitted. So we're probably, if they do want to take a second quarterback here, which that's what I've heard, we will probably see a couple more offers go out here in the upcoming weeks and months ahead. Now that they have their first quarterback in the class, it's not like they have to rush in to find in a second. If they want to take a late bloomer later in the cycle, they certainly can. And that's what's nice about a two quarterback class. Both quarterbacks don't have to be guys that you think can't need to come in and, you know, be able to play year one or two. You could take a project quarterback for the second quarterback and maybe he turns into something, or maybe, you know, it doesn't work out. So that's a nice thing about a two quarterback class. Again, the first one under their belt here in Grunkmeyer. And I think the other thing to say about the 2024 quarterback, notably, go back kind of your last question too, is I would say to a degree that the 2024 recruiting cycle quarterback is not as important as the 2025 cycle will be for Penn State. That is going to be the site. That is going to be the quarterback I think that Penn State is going to have to aim for, you know, high on their board, and they're going to have to hit higher on their board because you're looking at it. You don't need maybe a day one starter, but you're going to want to get somebody into that room next year in the 2025 class that has a very high ceiling, has a high floor already, much like Drew has, because if all everything bodes well, you know, Drew has this year, next year, and if he plays to his potential, he's gone after 2025. That's obviously a little bit of speculation, but let's be honest, you ask anybody in college football, you ask any NFL evaluator, they'll say if he plays up to that potential, he's a potential first overall pick in 2 years. So I do think the 2025 quarterback is a little bit more important than 2024, which is another reason I think Penn State was okay going a little bit down their board here in 2024. And I think it would be okay to, you know, maybe go more of a project quarterback for that quarterback number two as well. Another name, like I said, Demarcus Davis out of California. No offer yet, but they've been talking a little bit here and there, and he would be interested. Beyond that, it's still a lot of, I think, just evaluating talent at this point for Penn State. Like I said, not many offers out right now that they have sent out that the player isn't committed elsewhere already.
Locked On Nittany Lions, your go-to podcast for Penn State rivals. Visit happyvalleyinsider.com for all the latest on Penn State athletics. Dylan, just in this final segment, since people have said, right, that the class of 2025 is still very important, more important for Penn State. At least that was the saying when Penn State didn't have a quarterback in this class. Now they do have Ethan Grunkmeyer for 2024.
Which I do want to state, and I don't want everybody, anyway, think this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Ethan is a bad quarterback or
he's not. He got invited to the finals.
Exactly. Or scraping the bottom of the barrel for Penn State. Ethan is potentially, I think, maybe could be one of the biggest steals of this recruiting cycle for Penn State. Yeah. And it worked out really well for them. Like we said, the cards were dealt and they ended up, you know, it looks like they're going to end up getting a really nice hand with Grunkmeyer. But at the same time, Grunkmeyer before two months ago or a month and a half ago, didn't have an offer from Penn State either. Yeah. So it's not like he was somebody who, you know, has been on their board their entire time. They've known about him. but it wasn't until recently he got the offer, and they ended up potentially getting a huge steal with him. And that's great for them, obviously. But I don't think they ever were going to panic in this class at quarterback is what I was probably trying to say when it came to Crow and Hogan Van Buren. Yes, they would have loved to have either one of those. It didn't go that way, but they obviously feel they have something really special, potentially in Grunkmeyer. And I think the rest of the industry, rivals and everybody else, would agree with that statement that he is somebody who's going to rise up rankings this offseason and spring. Where he ends up, I'm not sure. But I definitely think that they got something special in Grunkmeyer. But yeah, I didn't want anybody to think I'm, you know, taking anything away from his commitment. I think that's a big, big pickup for Penn State. You will always take the quarterback talent you can get. But I think next year's quarterback is the one where you want to get, you know, a high four-star talent off this jump and not have to wait until May next year, hopefully.
So Dylan, who are you hearing for the class of 2025 is what I wanted to get at, because Malik Washington, I got to see him in person at the Elite 11. I'm all for Malik Washington committing to Penn State, but I am gathering that he's not their primary target, that he is a primary target, but he's not the target. So in the case of Luke Kromenhoek and Michael Van Buren to an Ethan Grunkmeyer, Penn State has its sights set on someone like Ryan Montgomery, whose brother Luke already goes to Ohio State, but another battle there. So, and Cutter Bowley was committed to Kentucky. He was he's number two, according to Rivals. He's in other places, but Rivals has him in the top three there. And he sounds like he's going to reclassify to 2024. So who are you hearing as far as Penn State's plans to go after the quarterback in 2025?
Yeah. So from a board perspective, it's very hard to say, you know, who's 1A, 1B, 2, 3, 4. But just some names that I think is worth pointing out. And I think Penn State is going to, if they can end up with any of these guys, they met their needs for 2025 at quarterback and get high potential. So, I mean, Bryce Underwood out of Belleville, Michigan, is one of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's everybody's favorite quarterback. Yeah. Everybody wants him. Yep. Penn State was in on him early, but I don't think he's going to end up at Penn State. Where he ends up, that remains to be seen. But I probably wouldn't say it's Penn State. I wouldn't be shocked if they get visits from him, but I just don't see that one going their way. Ryan Montgomery, you did mention. That's definitely a name to know. Milton, Georgia quarterback Luke Nickel, another name to know. Now, a recent offeree and somebody who was at Elite 11, Blake Hebert, out of Massachusetts. That is somebody. No insight on this one. It's just one of those gut feelings that, like, I can see him being that guy next year if his progression continues.
Yeah.
He's been having a really good offseason. He's 6'3", 215, 220 pounds. From everything I heard, he had a very good showing at the Elite 11. He had a great showcase up in New England the other week. He's excited about that Penn State offer. He's been to Penn State a few times. He makes a lot of sense as a guy to watch. Will he be the guy? We'll see. But he makes a lot of sense. Montgomery, Beckham Kritza out of he's originally out of California, now down at Miami, is another name to know. He will be visiting this upcoming summer, he told me. So we'll see what happens. And then Malik Washington, another really good quarterback that you mentioned, definitely up on their board. We have him, I believe, around 150 in the Rivals, 250 for 2025, 125 for the they have their fair share of options for the 2025 recruiting cycle at quarterback, and I think they're in a spot where I think they're a good spot with a couple of these quarterbacks that they're going to have a chance to land them down the road. But quarterbacks, of course, are your most important commit, one would say, in any recruiting cycle. They're usually the class leader. While I don't expect any of these guys to commit, you know, right away anytime soon, we'll probably try to look at a couple of these guys starting to commit late fall, early off season, or early winter next year. One of the guys they offered already, Austin Simmons out of Florida, committed to Florida last month. Cutter Bowley, who we already said is possibly going to reclassify her to 2024, committed, of course, to Kentucky. They were in on him. They would have loved Carter Bowley as well, obviously. But, yeah, they definitely have a lot of quality options here at quarterback. Keldon Ryan out of Fort Worth, Texas, another name to know. So I definitely think they have a good chance to land a very high-end prospect at that position come next cycle.
Locked on Nittany Lions. Great to have Dylan Callaghan Crowley back on the show to basically lay out the entire blueprint for Penn State at quarterback. Dylan, I really appreciate it. Getting that insight about what Penn State's going to do with the second option for the class of 2024 and then ultimately what the plan is for 2025. Of course, before we let you go, where can people keep up with you personally?
Yeah, over on Twitter, @RivalsDylanCC, and of course at PennState.Rivals.com, at Happy Valley Insider.